The Unified Body of Christ. Commentary for the August 12, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Mount Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Psalm 133. Unity is a concept poorly understood in the modern church. It is often mistakenly seen as uniformity. Even our lesson this week uses the word unified instead of the word united. The former brings with it the idea of lockstep militaristic uniformity. The latter conveys the idea that although we are diverse in cultures, ethnicities, gender, etc., we can still manifest unity by uniting those varied qualities through a common purpose. But this can only be accomplished by recognizing diversity as an advantage rather than an obstacle. This is hard to do if the expectation is uniformity. Uniformity does all it can to bury those differences behind a facade of forced equality. Such uniformity is often enforced for the purpose of control of the many by the few. As in the book Animal Farm, all are equal, but some are more equal than others and reap extra benefits as the more equal elite. It is facile to blame dictatorships for such abuses of power. It is what so much of humanity has become, whether countries, corporations, or religions, all manifest similar failings. Anyone who has ever experienced micromanaging in the workplace understands that this exists in the secular world. It is not a pleasant experience for those being so managed. It also stifles innovation that can bring new processes and products to market. The same is true within the church. Uniformity demands obedience to a common standard, and along with uniformity comes its sister, coercion. Quoting Ellen White, if milder means fail of making him do what they think ought to be done, they will resort to compulsion. Just as far as lies in their power, they will force men to comply with their ideas of what is right. This is antithetical to God's actions in the world. God has put great effort into bringing over 8 billion individuals into our modern world. In return, we work very hard to turn them into 8 billion clones of what we believe Jesus to be. We lose sight of them being 8 billion unique answers to prayer from God, who loves each one in their uniqueness, a uniqueness he created. We sometimes bemoan God's failed answers to prayers we have earnestly offered regarding suffering endured by individuals. God keeps creating answers, but we refuse to accept them because of their uniqueness and demand that they conform to an arbitrary standard, a standard that has already failed to produce the answers needed for generations. But God has not given up. His love compels him to continue to send answers, even if we reject them for their nonconformity. Here in the United States, almost 2 centuries have passed since the Civil War, and some still refuse to see God's attempts to answer prayers through those from other races. If instead of enforcing an arbitrary uniformity on others, we help them to become all they could possibly be, we could begin to see God's image in our fellow human beings, despite those differences. Light would penetrate darkness, and hope would become an epidemic spreading to every corner of the globe. When we fail at unity, it is not because we fail to be uniform. It is because we fail to love. In our failure to love, we fail in our relationship with God. Love is the only relationship possible with God, for He is love. Therefore, every child born is a word of love from God. When I look at the face of a newborn child, I see love, trust, and hope. I see a gift of grace beyond anything we could possibly have earned. But the world is a hard place, and will work diligently to erase all of those from the child's character. Unfortunately, with condemnation and criticism, even those who claim to love God work to make that child as jaded as they are. As the child grows and love dies, another answer to prayer disappears into the void. That spirit, so degraded, can still be resurrected. Jesus' resurrection from the grave was earnest to enable that possibility. In a world that strips away our hope, he brought hope. In a world that destroys the potential of so many, he revealed that each of us is more loved and has more potential than the world will ever admit. In the drudgery of day-to-day toil to make a living, we can be tempted to forget that we were born citizens of a better kingdom. It is a truth we should never let die from our hearts. It is attacked by the world, by those who tell us no such kingdom exists. It is attacked by the church that says it exists, but unless we succumb to uniform obedience to the church, we will never see it. Martin Luther broke such bonds in the early 16th century when he asserted that no one stands between the person and God save Jesus Christ. He alone determines our salvation through grace. The church of his day wished to condemn him for such foolishness. But what the church considered foolishness was the power of God's love. Despite the glorious hope of the Reformation, much of Christianity today has fallen back into the attempt to compel uniformity through the enforcement of dogma. Many years ago, at an Adventist conference in the Pacific Northwest, I was visiting with a ministerial secretary who was lamenting the lack of funding to hire ordained pastors to lead congregations in the conference. I asked if the funding was short, why not consider filling those positions with self-supporting lay ministers in the interim? He responded that if they aren't paying the ministers, they have no means to compel them and cannot control them. It seemed that he felt that anyone who was not on the payroll was automatically assumed to be too radical to be endorsed by the church. However, the history of the denomination has shown that ordained ministers have proven to be the greatest challenge to denominational uniformity. Examples abound, but one of the most well-known is that of Desmond Ford, who stood before the Council of Glacier View as Luther stood before the Diet of Worms. Both challenged the authority of the church in matters of individual belief, and both were declared heretics for their efforts. It is a divine mystery how, when God speaks another life into the world, some of those lives, despite every effort to extinguish their purpose, still manage to form a loving relationship with God. Building that relationship into a bastion of love and hope, despite the cynicism of the church and the secular world. But, like the experience of Jesus, it is rare that the clergy will ever recognize such an individual as a citizen of God's kingdom. With their creeds and belief statements, they simply cannot see beyond the walls of dogma they have erected. Jesus saw those walls for what they were, filters to keep others from finding God without the intervention of the synagogues and their rabbis, who ultimately answered to the priests in the temple. They do not understand the power of love that transcends all the legalism with grace that builds loving characters that legalism has sought to stifle. I am thankful for each life God has spoken into existence. It tells me he has not given up on us. There's still hope. I am amazed at the diversity that exists in the mind of God and what that means for any future heavenly places we may visit. While uniformity does not produce harmony, but instead a monotonal charade of what existence should be, diversity makes possible the beautiful harmony of many contributing to the song of heaven that we sing in our hearts now and will one day be sung in God's presence as a song of thanksgiving and love. To understand the difference, if you are a musician, simply play the note that begins the song Amazing Grace repeatedly with the same tone, same meter, same value. That is uniformity. Now play the song again, as written. The monotony has been replaced by beautiful harmony that speaks to our hearts. This is a difference between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of heaven. God has created humanity to be diverse with different physical attributes, different hormonal levels, different intellects, different languages, and we are all, despite the differences, wonderful children of God. The older I get, over 7 decades now, the more I see how temporary everything is. When I am gone, much of it will simply be so much clutter that someone else will have to deal with. As Paul the Apostle wrote to the believers in Corinth, only 3 things endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the footnotes that support the ideas and quotes in this podcast at our website, www.visitstillwaters.com, along with the written version of this podcast commentary. You can also find hundreds more podcasts and commentaries at that location, as well as books written by the author. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.